what the great theologians Boston sing about one time, and that is, life is more than a feeling. Life is more than a feeling. Now, we have feelings. We all have feelings. We feel things from time to time. Like when I reach into the hot stove and I'm hungry and dinner's not fully cooked yet and I decide I'm going to have a French fry anyways, you know, you got to kind of weasel your hand in there underneath the top burner to grab that fry off of the tray and pop it. Only the wife has just told you that it's hot and you're going to burn your mouth. What does she know? Bing! That hurt. Ouch. I feel like I just burned my... You get to that moment where like you lose sensation in your tongue, like there's flaps of skin hanging from the top and the roof of your mouth. Am I the only one that understands exactly what I'm talking about? You burn your mouth, and then you feel dumb after me. And then the next day, Erin will be making stir fry on the stovetop, and she's moving it around, and I'm sneaking in there to pinch a piece of chicken, and she says, "You'll burn your mouth." And I put the chicken right in my mouth, and guess what? I add to the blisters, and I burn my mouth again, and then Isabel, to her delight, is sitting there saying, "Daddy, do it again, burn your mouth." He said, and she said, and she says, "Do the dance, the, oh, I burn my mouth dance all over the kitchen," right? And we've all done that before, where we've had those feelings of stupidity because we've made our own choices, and we deserve that, and I live that. But we're not just talking about those kinds of feelings. We're really dealing with all kinds of challenging feelings that we have. And it depends on your day what kind of feelings you have. It depends on the mood or the circumstances. You know, if the Cavs or the Browns lose, you might feel bummed. If the Buckeyes win, you might feel excited. If the cat jumps off of your lap and is not sitting there anymore, you might feel lonely. Or for certain people, you might feel excited about that. If you drop your cell phone in the toilet, you feel utter despair. And you're lost, and you don't know what you're going to do with that. Your traveling companion, it's gone. The cell phone. Raise your hand if you dropped your cell phone in the toilet. Come on now. All right. I have yet to do that. Praise be to God. But it happens to the best of us. And it's that moment where your heart just jumps out of your chest farther than you ever thought it could go. And you have all kinds of feelings. And hey, I don't mean to blow the movie for you, but when you watch The Force Awakens and Star Wars, and listen, the movie's like 2 years old, so, you know, I'm just giving you a warning here. And Harrison Ford buys it, and Han Solo's dead, and you get angry and frustrated, and you feel angry at the producers, and you say, "Why would you off Harrison Ford and Han Solo?" I mean, you get ticked off in those moments. Sometimes you might feel like, "Hey, you know, the tire on my tractor is flat. The kids are fighting in the minivan. The car breaks down. My boss is on me." I just feel overwhelmed. And these feelings where you're like ready to wave the white flag in your life. And so there's days and moments where you feel happy, and the next second you feel sad. And you go through mood swings, and you feel this one moment and feel that the next, and it's just never constant. It's always changing because our feelings oftentimes are based on our circumstances. And so what we're going to learn to discover is that if you're taking notes, feelings come and go, but God is our what? Our solid foundation. Feelings come and go, but God is our solid foundation. You can take notes right there in your bulletin. You can get out your smartphones as long as they're waterproof. And you haven't dropped them in the toilet. You get out your smartphone and you can go to that. Go to the event section of the YouVersion Bible app. The event section of the YouVersion Bible app. You can download that if you don't have it yet. And the notes will be right there with you. You can follow along. There'll be scripture. There'll be outlines, the whole deal. But feelings come and go, but God is our solid foundation. He is the true and firm foundation that we trust. In Psalm 91, verse 2, David verifies that. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Now, a lot of you, some of you guys especially, you heard the word feelings and you were like, "Man, we're going to spend 6 weeks talking about feelings," and you're running for the hills. "Get me out of here. I don't know how to talk about my feelings." Well, that's not the kind of feelings we're really going to be talking about. Some of you, you have relative and you might be sitting next to him. Don't look him in if you are. But you wonder if that person has any feelings at all. You wonder last time they felt anything. Don't look if that's who you're sitting next to. Or some of you, as soon as I mentioned the word feelings, the water faucet turned on and you just started crying uncontrollably because you wear your feelings on your sleeve. You wear your feelings on your sleeve. We all have feelings, and there's nothing inherently wrong with our feelings. But the problem is that one of the founding church fathers named John Wesley talked about is that our feelings can overwhelm God's promises, and it overwhelms God's plan and His work and His presence in our life, and all we do is focus on our feelings. So we oftentimes ask each other, "Well, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? I feel fine. How are you feeling? I feel happy. How are you feeling? I feel sad because this, and this happened." So John Wesley asked a different question. He said, "How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? So it gets past just our feelings and goes to the root of the matter to ask questions like, how is it with God? Don't just focus on your feelings, he would say with that question. I want you to take a look at the outlook of your life and compare that to possibly what God is doing with his presence and his plan and his work. Because otherwise, if we don't ask that question, how is it with God? How is it with your soul? We just simply say, well, how is it with your feelings? It detaches us from the promises of God in our life. Because when we rely on our feelings, we can lose our feel for God's promises. When we rely on our feelings, we can lose our feel for God's promises. We can allow how we feel, and we can allow our own personal heart to guide our actions and inform our view of how life is going into places where it doesn't honor God. And in that moment, we can lose sight of God and his truth and his direction and his promises. So we're going to learn to put our trust not in our heart. We're going to learn not to put our trust in our feelings to guide us in our life, but we're going to learn to put our trust in the promises of God that is our firm foundation that can guide us into all we do. And here's our theme verse for the entire series. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Some of you might even have this memorized by heart. But by the time we're done with you, you will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding or feelings. Lean not on your own feelings or understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your paths. He will straighten your paths in other translations. So if you're a Christ follower, and by the way, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, praise be to God. We've got a connection card in your bulletin. On the back it says, considering Christ for the very first time. Would you deeply consider what it means to invite Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, to confess your sins, to say, God, I need you. And would you mark that? And we would love to talk to you about that. But you come every single Sunday if you're just seeking and searching for God right now. But if you're a Christ follower, then you understand this moment that life is more than a feeling. And we're going to learn to lean on God's promises to guide us through our life. And so each week we're going to focus on a struggling feeling, and we're going to take a deep look at our souls, and we're going to deal with feelings like, hey, I feel lost, which is next week. The week after that, we're going to say, hey, I feel lonely. I feel overwhelmed. I feel afraid. Last week, we're going to say, I feel indifferent. And each week, we're going to connect to one of God's amazing promises. And God is going to overwhelm our feelings with his promises, because oftentimes we allow our feelings to overwhelm us and overwhelm God's promises in our life. And so today we're going to talk about feeling defeated. You guys ready for this? We're going to talk about feeling defeated. And today we're going to look at three truths about defeat. Three truths about when I feel defeated. And the first one is, when I feel defeated, I feel the loss of hope. If you're taking notes, when I feel defeated, I feel the loss of hope. And we're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is riddled with stories. It's full of stories of people who tried to believe in God, wanted to believe in God, but their lives were filled with trials and tragedies and struggles. Lives were tormented. The enemy was having his way. And in the process, they discovered the promises of God that rescued them. And we're going to look at one such story. It's a major storyline in all of the Old Testament, and it started in 600 BC. Back in 600 BC, the Babylonian Empire, led by a ruthless tyrant named King Nebuchadnezzar, he brought an all-out assault on the entire land of Judea, the entire country, the entire nation of Judea, and specifically targeted its home base, Jerusalem, which was also the home base of faith, Jerusalem. And he took their wealth and he took their poverty. He leveled their army to the ground. He took whatever army was left with him, and he completely sacked the region, sacked the nation and the capital. And it was a bad day for the children of Israel. Let's look at it in 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 14 to 16. King Nebuchadnezzar carried into captivity all of Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. The mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant men, 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all who were strong and fit for war. These the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. You want to know how Israelites like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel got to where they were in the kingdom of Babylon? This is how. This is how. They were taken captive. And in some cases, they were reprogrammed in their own minds. They tried to reprogram and this whole concentration piece with them and tried to get them to denounce their God. And this is what was going on. And so imagine how the Israelites felt that they were having a bad day. Imagine how they felt. The armies were defeated. Judea was invaded. Jerusalem was under siege. Their wealth was gone. The best and brightest were taken captive. The strongest were taken captive. The army was taken captive. The families torn apart. And on their way out of the city, being led away as slaves, they walk over the trail of carnage, the smoldering ash, walking over the dead and decaying bodies and the dry bones of their fellow Israelites who fell by the sword. And soon, on top of all of that, the temple, the holy place of God, was going to be reduced to rubble. Reduced to rubble. You can imagine that they were having a bad day. You can probably fathom that they were feeling a little bit defeated. That hope had left with the people when those people left. That hope had left when their possessions and their wealth had left. You know that feeling of defeat. Maybe not exactly like this, but you felt that feeling of defeat. You spent months and years working hard and working out and practicing and planning for that competition, and that event happens and you come up short, or your team comes up short, and you don't perform the way that you wanted to perform, and you feel the sense of defeat. Maybe that project at work that you've been working on and pouring yourself into, it's floundering, or someone sabotages it. Or you wonder, why in the world did I just pour all my time into this thing when it didn't work out to begin with? And you feel defeat. Or maybe you hear the gossip from people, and there's just that one or two or that group of people that just, they always seem to have it in for you. No matter where you go, whenever they show up, you just feel like they have it in for you, and you feel defeated. Maybe your spouse walks out the door, and you feel defeat. Maybe your friend betrays your trust, or your friend just turns your back when you expected them to show up for you, and you feel defeat. Or that dream that you have or had, that dream gets squashed, and you wonder if it'll ever be resurrected again, and you feel defeat. Or flat out, you're just picture of life. Your picture of life isn't going the way that you thought it was supposed to go, and it feels shattered, and you feel defeated, and you wonder if your life is ever going to have new life. Or maybe you've finally gotten ahead financially, and it's been a struggle, and you've been battling, and all of a sudden that bill comes in the mail you didn't expect, and you, well, feel defeat. If that's how you feel, then you're in good company, because that's how King David felt on a regular basis. That's how a lot of the people that we read about in the Bible felt, but most assuredly David. In Psalm chapter 35, verses 2 to 4, he writes these words, "How long will my enemy triumph over me?" How is he feeling? He's feeling defeated. "Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him." What is he feeling? He's feeling defeated. "And my foes will rejoice when I fall." You ever feel like that in life? You feel like there's just a certain crowd in your life that they eat away at you, and you wonder that if they celebrate when you feel like you're down, and you just feel that weight of defeat. That's where David is. David feels like he's surrounded by his enemies, that they're winning. He's in an extremely dark place, and as a result, he's feeling defeated. So it's important to note this about our feelings. It's not wrong to have them. You know, we all have feelings, and we all have painful feelings. Those things are very real. They're very appropriate for us to have feelings. They're, as a matter of fact, normal. Even Jesus, when he walked the earth, felt painful things. He felt angry. He felt thirsty. He felt frustrated. He felt betrayed. He even felt abandoned. And when his body was dead and in the tomb, and it seemed like the enemy and death had won, his followers also felt the sting of death and the sting of defeat, like hope was lost. Feelings are normal, and feeling defeated is a common thing. I even know what it's like to feel defeated. I mean, I don't have a halo over my head, and I don't levitate from this platform. I know what it's like to feel defeated. As a matter of fact, very specifically, and I'll just share it with you, probably about 2 years ago, a year and a half to 2 years ago, I was starting to feel the beginning stages of burnout as a pastor. Feeling the weight of ministry and the challenges of a church, you know, raising up leaders, building groups, building teams, being responsible for God to financially provide for all of those things, working with staff. And the challenges started to overwhelm me, and I was struggling, and I was feeling those moments of defeat. You ever feel like things just pile up on you at work? And you just dread the next day when you're going to wake up, and you've got that pit in your stomach because you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Am I talking to some of the right folk here today? I mean, I'm probably the only one that has ever had that moment where you're waking up and you're like, man, what am I walking into today? And you just feel defeated. You feel like you can't see, You can't see the future. The future looks a little bit dark, or it looks a little bit bleak. It's kind of cloudy. You're kind of burning out. You feel like you got nothing left to give. You feel dried up. And you're in this dark place where the feelings of defeat want to grab a hold of your heart. And in those moments, at least it is for me, it's so easy to put my trust in my feelings and to lose my feel for God's promises. And I, too, in those moments, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, started buying into the lies of the enemy that would say, hey, follow your heart, follow your feelings. And sometimes in those moments, I definitely confess to you that, man, there were days where I thought, I'm burnt out. I need to do something else. I'd rather be a greeter at Walmart than to face the challenges that we feel as a church sometimes. Or maybe I just need to move on. Maybe there's another appointment out there. I mean, because I feel like I just have no hope. I felt like the walls were closing in. I was struggling in those moments. By the way, I just want to tell you, I'm not going anywhere because God has brought a resurrection into my life. I'm going to share that in just a moment. But those feelings are very real, and they were for me, and they were for the children of Israel. Those feelings are very real for King David. Feelings of defeat were very real for even Jesus Christ himself, and they were for me. But I'm here to tell you today, your feelings don't have the final word. Your feelings don't have the final word. God and Jesus Christ has the final word. And we get a chance to stand on his promises. And here's the second truth. Just because you feel defeated doesn't mean you are. That is a lie from the enemy. Just because you feel defeated doesn't mean you are. Don't lose sight of the promises of God, that God is a good God, that God is in control, and he is the Most High God. And it's the one thing that David did. Even in all of his moments of darkness and feelings of defeat, he never lost sight of the promises of God. Another example in Psalm 18, verses 2 to 5, the Bible reads, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Someone's going to raise a hand here pretty soon. I know they are. "I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death, they've entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me." God in Jesus Christ was reminding David that though he was struggling and feeling defeated, he was never going to lose sight of the promises of his God. He was going to put his trust in the fact that he knew his God was able, that his God was with him, that he wasn't out on an island, and that because Jesus was victorious from the grave, or soon to be, prophetically, that he was going to be living in victory as well, as we know today what Jesus did for us. You know, feelings want to convince us that they have a say in our life. Our feelings want to convince us that they have a say in our direction and how things are going to go. But Jesus has the final word, and Jesus can silence those feelings of defeat because he defeated death and he defeated the enemy. And because of that, his body literally had new life breathed into his dead and decaying body. His dry bones received flesh, and they received the Spirit of God and resurrected him in the victory cry for all those moments that we feel defeat. And that can bring hope to the hopeless. But defeat would want to try to bring us down once again and place this feelings of being consumed by our feelings of defeat. That we feel like we have all of just ourselves. That all we have is just ourselves to figure things out. And we are the only solution. And that's kind of where I was in that moment of defeat for me. I felt like I was just carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And it was weighing me down. And I felt defeated, and it was bringing me down. But consider what the truth of God's word says when you feel like you're all alone when you're feeling defeated. Isaiah 41, verse 10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so in the times where you feel defeated, there may be moments where all you can do is to just cling to the cross. All you can do is wrap your arms around the cross. You cling to God's promises. For some of us, life kind of feels like that movie Twister at the very end when the storm is chasing them and they tie straps to that pipe that goes all the way down in the ground and their legs are like out like this and they're holding on for dear life. And you ever see the cartoons or they got their arms wrapped around a tree and their body's like horizontal to the ground? Anybody ever feel like that? I mean, you're just holding on for dear life. Well, guess what? Some of you are holding on to your feelings and are letting you down. God says, let go of those things. You cling to the cross. You stand on my promises because they go all the way down in the ground because I raised my son from the ground. He's alive and well, and I have a firm foundation for you. Just because you feel defeated doesn't mean you are. You cling to the cross. You cling to the empty tomb. You cling to Christ. And you hang on His promises that God is there, that He's in this. And you're going to trust not in your feelings and your own heart, but you're not going to trust on your own understanding, but you're going to trust in God with all of your power and strength and ability, and He's going to straighten your paths. On to the third and final truth. God is able, number three, God is able to breathe life into the dry bones of defeat. Amen? God is able to breathe into the dry bones of defeat. Breathe new life. And this is going to be the price of admission today. Along comes Ezekiel the prophet. Right at the moment where Babylon was destroying Jerusalem and they had taken over Judea, and God sent him to the Israelites during this defeat of Babylon at just the right time. God is always on time. And he prophesied to them. God prophesied to the Israelites through people like Ezekiel. Jeremiah was another prophet. There's all kinds of prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, most of the books are written in a prophetic word of God to the people of Israel. And he preached, hey, repent. God wants to change you. He wants to do a new work in your life. And have hope. Have hope that God is who He says He is. In chapter 37, verses 1 through 6 of Ezekiel, here are these words as Ezekiel has this dream, this vision that God gives him as he's prophesying. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And then He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones, and you say to them, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Isn't this amazing? What is he seeing in his dream? This valley of dry bones. He's seeing the state of the Israelite people. He's seeing how the Israelites feel. He's literally seeing the destruction of the temple. He's seeing the destruction of the city, the destruction of the Israelite army. He's seeing all that before him, and he's seeing this valley of dry bones. And then someone begs the question, can these bones live again? You ever had that moment in your life where you're just wondering, is this dream ever going to get resurrected? Am I going to ever get myself out of debt? Is this relationship ever going to be able to be reconciled? Am I ever going to be able to breathe again? Because some of you are feeling so defeated that it's starting to work on your physical body. You can't breathe. It feels like a weight is sitting on your chest. And you wonder, can God breathe in me again? And sisters and brothers, I just came by to tell you today that the answer is yes. You feel all dried up. You feel used up. You feel like you got nothing left. You feel defeat. Jesus felt that way on the cross. Jesus felt all dried up. He hollered from the cross, what? I thirst. The well of living water who offered living water people while on earth was himself drying up. You know the dry bones. And it's into these dry bones that God uses Ezekiel to speak the word of God, to speak the truth of God, and to speak the promises of the Lord to these bones. And then when he did that, guess what happened to the bones? They started to rattle. The bones started to rattle and he started to shake, and he kept speaking the promises and the truth of God. And then the bones took on sinew and they took on flesh and they took on ligaments and muscle and tissue. And then God breathed new life into these dry bones and they came to life. Don't take my word for it. Verse 10. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Amazing. What once was scattered, what once was left for dead and left to be all dried up, what once was left defeated on the ground, God breathes new life into right then and there. And he restores the Israelites, but he also restores their army. He restores the entire army of Israel and fills them all with the fresh breath of the Spirit of God. And their hearts are alive. They see the future is bright and they have a bright hope for tomorrow. And this is what Ezekiel is urging for you and for me today, to raise our eyes from the limited nature of our feelings and to raise our eyes from thinking that we only have ourselves as a resource and to see what God sees. And what God sees is, though you feel the darkness and though you feel the dry bones of defeat, you see that with God, all things are possible and that dry bones can live again. Dry bones can live again. Someone ought to put that out on Twitter today. Dry bones can live again. He wants to do the impossible in you and fill our dry experiences, our burnout, our feelings of defeat with the living hope of Jesus Christ. And so for me personally, I've experienced that. Starting about a year ago, I experienced God breathing new life into me in a season where I was feeling burnout and struggling terribly. But one of the things I can tell you honestly is I never stopped believing and I never stopped praying. I never stopped reading God's word and believing for what seemed like the impossible. You want to know what? If I'm being completely honest with you, I prayed even more during that season than I had in a long time. I read God's word more, even more than I had in a long time. Why do you think he allows us to feel defeated from time to time? Because it draws us to realize we can't do life on our own, that we need God, and that God is going to come through. I never let go of those spiritual habits and disciplines. I just kept pushing past my feelings and just trusting that God was going to come through on his promises and that he was going to meet me right there and that he had me right where he wanted me and that I wasn't allowed to quit. I wasn't allowed to move on. I wasn't allowed to feel like the grass is always greener on the other side. Now, I want to tell you, some of you need to get out of the places you're in. I'm not saying that that's always the answer for everybody. But for me, I'm right where God wants me to be. And he reminded me of that. I just had some growing to do. He just wanted to do a new work in me. I just needed to work a little harder and pray a little harder and cling to the cross and his promises. And when I did that, he breathed into me a brand new outlook on life, a brand new outlook on ministry, a fresh vision for the future of Rolling Plains Church, a renewed passion for his work through me, a daily belief that he was going to do a new thing out of the impossible. And rather than walking into my days thinking I was going to feel the impossible, I was walking into my days wondering how God was going to do the impossible in me and through me and the ministries of our church. And to walk into every day wondering about his amazement. If you feel defeated, you put your trust in his promises. And if you do, he can do the impossible in you. He can bring dry bones back to life. He can breathe life into your dry bones if you would cling to the cross, if you would pray for his strength. That's what David did. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Israelites were doing. That's what I had to do. And you just cry out to the Holy Spirit of God, awaken me. Open my eyes. Fill me anew to what God's doing. Bring a fresh breath of your spirit and new life into me. I believe in the power of possibility, God, because with all you, all things are possible. Now that means from time to time, like I had to do, allowing God to change you and grow you and do a new work in you. That's why he's going to rattle your bones from time to time. Some of you just need your bones rattled. That's what I needed. He needs to shake you up a little bit. He needs to rattle them bones. And then when he rattles them bones, he's going to put on some new work. What? Some new ligaments, some new muscle, some new tissue. And then he's going to bring his new fresh breath of his spirit. But that's what happens. We just need to get rattled from time to time. And then we're ready for God to bring that breath of new life into us. Because if he can raise the defeated dry bones of the people of Israel, if he can rebuild a city on its own ruins, if he can raise an army up out of its own ashes, then on our feelings of defeat, he can raise up a new hope and an understanding of victory. You can say in those moments, though I have challenges, I feel blessed. And though I might start to feel defeated, it is still going to be well with my soul. Because, as those great theologians said, it is more than a feeling. Life is. Life is more than just feelings. It is about standing on the promises of God and allowing him to breathe new life in through those promises. Let's land the plane. Here are some action steps for you. Number one, cling to the cross and the promises of God. Some of you are holding on for dear life, but you're holding on to the wrong thing. Cling to the promises of God. Cling to God's promises. Cling to the cross. Get in his word. Pray. Get involved in a life group. Don't let go of those spiritual habits and disciplines. Make worship on Sunday morning a priority. And number two, pray for God's fresh breath of awakening in you. God, open my eyes. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Do a new work in me. Take me to the next level in my relationship with you. Shake me up a little bit. Rattle me up. And number three, let God do that new work in you. Because our God is a God who can bring dry bones back to life. And if he can do that, he can give you a whole new life too. Amen.